Let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to read a few verses from verses 4 to 9. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly awaiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. We all know what a Wi-Fi symbol looks like. We all know that. And, it's Wi-Fi symbols are important because they say that we are actually connected online, right? If you see it on your phone, if you have it on your laptop, on your computer, anybody ever been to a place where the connection was weak or non-existent? Sometimes the connection can be excellent or strong, right? And sometimes it can be weak or poor. And when it is poor, you're not going to, how much work are you going to get done online? Nothing, right? Can you check your emails? Nope. Can you check your Facebook? Nope. Can you check Instagram? Nope. You can't do anything online. So this morning I want to entitle my message, God's Wi-Fi Connection. God's Wi-Fi Connection. All righty, so I hope I have your attention now with that Wi-Fi, and you can imagine what the Wi-Fi symbol looks like. We've all seen it. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul gives us a mouthful of, especially in verses 8 and 9, about our relationship with God. Now, I'm gonna share a very profound truth that will help you further understand your relationship with God, okay? And when you got saved, you were saved into two different circles of connection with God. Not one. You were saved into two different circles of connecting with God. The first one is relationship. Let's all say it. Relationship. The second one is fellowship. Let's all say it. Fellowship. What's the difference between relationship and fellowship? Okay, let me illustrate that very quickly. You know, my mother lives in El Paso, Texas. And she's my mama. I love her to pieces. She's the only parent I have left. And so I call her 2-3 times a week just to see how she's doing. And when I call her, I have what with her?
Fellowship.
Very good. Because I get to interact with my mama, right? We talk in Spanish and we talk about burritos and tacos and chimichangas and how much I miss them. Authentic Mexican cooking. So we fellowship on the phone. Now, but there was a time when her phone was down, it was not working well, and I could not reach her for 2 weeks. Now, let me pose this question to you. Because I did not have fellowship with my mom over the phone in those 2 weeks, did it remove my relationship with my mother? No. Because she'll always be my mother, right? That is my relationship. My fellowship was interrupted temporarily for 2 weeks because I could not reach her and she could not reach me. Does that make sense, the difference between relationship and fellowship? Okay, so we're going to see it. We're going to back it up here scripturally in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at verse 8 with me, please. It says here, that God or Jesus Christ will confirm us to the end, to the very end of our lives, so that we may be blameless in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you believe that God will hold you firm to the end of your life so that when we stand before him, you will be blameless in his sight? Who believes that God is able? Amen. Can we say it? God is able. In our relationship with God, He's the one who keeps us strong to the end. It is not our responsibility to keep ourselves strong to the end. Can we? Can any of us keep ourselves strong to the end? If anybody says yes, I'm going to point you to Peter, the fisherman. Lord, I'm willing to go to prison for you. And Lord, I'm even willing to go to the grave for you. Did that happen? No. Could Peter keep himself strong to the end? No. So who keeps us strong to the end? God. So we can say, listen carefully, I'm really breaking it down. I'm doing a lot of teaching this morning. God keeps our relationship strong to the end. Would you agree with me on that? I can't keep myself strong to the end. Who is it that keeps us strong to the end in our relationship? So God is. So whose responsibility is it to keep us strong to the end? Is it ours? No. Whose is it? God's. Now let's go to verse 9. God is faithful. See, there you go. Again, he reiterates verse 8. God is trustworthy. God is reliable. And then he says, by whom you were called into the what of his son? Fellowship. Now, fellowship is not like relationship. Relationship is whose responsibility? God's responsibility. Fellowship, on the other hand, is our responsibility. It is my responsibility to fellowship with the Lord Jesus. I hear some believers say, well, it'd be nice if I could walk with Jesus and talk with Jesus like the 12 disciples. You can't. And Jesus said, there's someone better for your sake. It's better that I leave so that I can send the better presence in your life. And who was that? The Holy Spirit. He said, Jesus said, it is more profitable for you that I leave so that I can be with you in a different form, in a different means, the means of the Holy Spirit. So what is my point? Whose responsibility is fellowship? Our responsibility. Whose responsibility is relationship? God's. And he will keep us what to the end? Strong to the end. He will keep us strong to the end. How many of you love that promise? I love that promise because I don't have to worry about, did I blow it? Did I commit the unpardonable sin? Did I blaspheme the Holy Spirit? Did I, Jesus? No. It's his responsibility to keep me strong to the end, but it is my responsibility, church family, to keep that Wi-Fi connection with God. See where I'm going with this? So I need my Wi-Fi connection with God to be excellent and not poor or not weak. Can I get an amen in the house, please? Amen, right? I need that. I need that Wi-Fi connection in my fellowship with God for it to be strong. Because not unlike Wi-Fi and the internet, if you don't have that fellowship connection with God, how many blessings can you really download from God's hand? Right? We just agreed a little bit ago, a few minutes ago, that we can't really do any online work if our Wi-Fi connection is poor, right? Listen, if I never fellowship with the Lord, how many of you ready for a little toe-stepping? My family, you can't just go to Jesus when you gimme, gimme, gimme. You know, I remember when my girls were young, and I was a part of this executive board of a group of churches, and they would fly me out from Kansas to Kansas City, get a connecting flight all the way to St. Louis, Missouri. And we would meet in St. Louis once a quarter, every couple months we would meet. And because we lived in the sticks out in no man's land, Kansas, in northwest Kansas, we had a one-horse town of 1,400 people in the middle of nowhere. You have to drive 35 miles to go to a Walmart. But anyway, as I was flying out, I would decided about, you know, at the time my girls were young, and that was a time when the Beanie Babies were. The girls just wanted Beanie Babies. Well, they sold a limited amount in our town, but they didn't sell the really snazzy ones. You know, I used to get my youngest daughter, she has a fascination with dragons. And I got her a Beanie Baby of a dragon, and somebody else wanted a panda bear, so I'd get her a panda bear, and the other one wanted, I can't remember what she wanted. And I would, every quarter, I would buy new Beanie Babies for them, and they just loved them. Thank you, Daddy, we love you, thank you, that's very kind. And then one day, one of our daughters comes up to me and says, Dad, when are you leaving town again? So you don't care about me? You care about that dumb Beanie Baby? How many of you know that we can be that way with the Lord? If we're just Jesus, gimme, 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 and we really don't really care about him, are we really pleasing the Lord? Is that really fellowship with the Lord? I mean, I'm not married, but if I ever had another spouse and if I told my future spouse, hey, honey, I want you to vacuum, I want you to wash the dishes, I want you to do the laundry, I want you to... How many of you know that I probably won't see her for a couple of weeks? After which I might begin to see her out of the right eye, right center of my eye, because she took a pen right upside my head. I think you get the point. I don't need to belabor that point, do I, church family? I don't need to belabor that point. That's not really fellowship. Fellowship is talking to God. I talk to Jesus on a daily basis. Maintain that fellowship, that Wi-Fi connection with God, and just talk to Jesus about my day, about, you know, praying for my daughters, about a whole bunch of things. You know, I just talk to the Lord. I thank him for his goodness in my life. I thank him for his mercy, what he's done for me and through me. Like Lyle said, man, I am so undeserving of his grace, but how many of us know that we're undeserving, but we'll receive it anyway? Yep. Amen? So I talked to him about that. You know, sometimes I'll just, since I spend a lot of time in the car, driving from patient to patient, facility to facility, I'll just put on praise music and I'll just sing to Jesus. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. And just talk to him. Sometimes I will direct my complaints to the Lord. How many of you have complaints? Now, let me ask the second question. How many of you direct them to the Lord? As Joyce Meyer once said, how many of you know or have heard of Joyce Meyer? She said, when you have a complaint, don't rush to the phone. They said, don't rush to pick up the phone. She said, go directly to the throne. Right? And so I'll just share my complaints with the Lord. You know, my daughter doesn't know about some of my complaints. I'm like, I wish she would clean her room. She's not here this morning. She's spending the weekend with her mother. So clean your room up. Scrub the tub. You know, I was watching the movie Saving Private Ryan. Who's all watched that movie? Tom Hanks, brilliant actor. And he was playing Captain Miller. And some of his platoon members went up to him. They said, Captain, they said, we never hear you complain. Tom Hanks looks at him and says, you know, because I don't complain down, I complain up. I think that that's what we should do with the Lord. Complain up. David said in Psalm 142, verse 1, he said, I will pour out my complaint before him. Amen? So complain up to the Lord. Now, so there are many ways that we can maintain that Wi-Fi connection with God. But then there are also ways that we can kind of weaken that connection with God. How many of us know there are ways we can weaken that connection with God? And I think the first one, I'm not going to talk about all of them. I'm going to talk about a few of them.
No sin will weaken our connection with God. Can I have a resounding amen?
Amen.
Knowingly, willfully, right? None of us are snow white, right? We're not as pure as the driven snow. Some of you are like, speak for yourself. Don't look at me. So, sin does that. And sometimes we are stubborn people. And when I say we, I'm talking about myself as well. Okay, I'm not. Anytime I point one finger at you, I have three others pointing back at me. So I'm talking about myself. But, we can be stubborn people, and we're going to do what we're going to do regardless of what the Lord tells us to do in His Word about obeying Him in this area or obeying Him in that area. Sometimes we just, sorry, Lord, I need to have my kidney party. Or sorry, Lord, I just need to give that person a piece of my mind. Or sorry, Lord.
No.
But sin does that. Sin will weaken our connection with God. It will not affect our relationship. Because whose responsibility is it to keep that relationship? But what will it do to our fellowship? Fizzle out. Now, who's ever felt like God was super, super distant? One honest soul. I can raise both hands. Right? We all have. Now, and there are reasons why. I don't have I can't explain why He feels that way sometimes. But I think that sometimes He might seem that distance. It wasn't because He moved away. It was because we walked away from our fellowship with God. Can I get a witness in that?
Amen.
Can you look at your neighbor and say, this is good teaching? So sin does that. Now, sometimes there's incompatibility. What do I mean by incompatibility? We're going through a lot of stuff in our life. And how many of us know that life itself can do a number on our fellowship with God? We were hearing through the concerns and the testimonies as well. Pain can do a number if we let it to your fellowship with God. Because how many of us know that physical pain or even emotional pain or even spiritual pain commands so much of our attention? That even to pray to the Lord for relief or even to pray to the Lord, even just to pray to the Lord, becomes a real chore. Right? Or maybe you have been beaten down in life so hard and so low that God doesn't seem real at the moment to you. So incompatibility sometimes. Now, I want to illustrate incompatibility. Do you guys like my illustrations that I keep it kind of real? Okay, so one time, this was probably about 6 years ago, I was at Starbucks, and I got myself my... am I cutting in and out?
No.
Is my Wi-Fi connection good? And so I got myself a latte. And I sat down, and I'm just paging through USA Today. Here, let me use my Bible so I can illustrate this better. And I begin to overhear this guy as he's talking to this lady. And so I'm paging here. Now, many of you don't know, but I'm good at eavesdropping. I don't have to look at you to hear you. I don't even have to look at you to know what you're talking about. I'll just be like... And so there was this guy, apparently he met up with this gal. And they were on a first date, from what I gathered, their conversation. How many of you know this illustration is going to be juicy already? And the guy's doing all the talking. And the poor gal cannot get a word in edgewise. Now, ladies, I'm sure you've never had dates. Some of you spouses are looking at your other spouse and you're saying, yeah, that's you. So, and then to add insult to injury, the guy is dressed very slovenly. He is dressed very sloppily, very sloppy. He has an untucked shirt that's wrinkled. He has old, ugly-looking, faded jeans. I don't mind a rip, but these days, when I was growing up, I hated these jeans because that said you were poor. Nowadays, you have to have some decent money to buy this, right? But anyway, so he had terrible jeans. Oh, and then some sneakers, some basketball sneakers that were dirty. They had dirt and grime on them because they were white. And I thought, oh my gosh. Across the table is this lady that looks immaculate. She's wearing a lovely dress, business, kind of this formal business wear. She's got high heels. She's very polite. She's a very beautiful lady. And so I'm just like, the whole time I'm no longer looking at the newspaper. I'm like. And then when I thought they were turning the seat. And then she gets a little worded edgewise and he overpowers her. And then I saw this lady get up from the table and the lady walks to the trash can to throw her little cup of coffee, I'm assuming. And you can tell that lady spent time at the gym. This dude didn't. I'm thinking, how many of you remember a love connection? Chuck Woolery? We'll be back in 2 and 2. Remember that? But I thought, this is... And then the capper was when the guy, they're about to leave, and so I'm just like... And the guy tells her, man, you know what? I've had a wonderful time. I had a wonderful time knowing you. I want to do this again. And I thought, by this time, I'm nodding my head. No, I'm so into this. I'm like, don't string him along. Because you're going to get it worse the next time. And I think they walked out and talked some more. And then they went to their separate cars and drove away. And I thought, this is not going to work. And because this guy's doing all the talk, he's monopolizing. Now, sometimes, can I have another toe-stepping moment, please? Sometimes the Lord cannot get a word in edgewise to you because you're like that guy. And you're like, do we ever just pause and remain silent in the presence of God? Turn the radio off in your car if you're driving. And turn any noise. Maybe if you're in your apartment or in your house, turn the TV off, turn everything off, and just be silent. Be still before God. Because that is when God speaks the best. Right? So sometimes incompatibility is how could we be incompatible with Jesus in our fellowship? We never allow him to get a word in edgewise to us. How many of you believe that God still speaks today? Amen. God still speaks today, right? Yeah. So let him shut everything down, be still, and as the psalmist said, and know that he is God. Final note, I'm convinced that a lot of us as believers, including myself, don't know God more or better because we don't know how to be still in his presence. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Let us pray. Gracious Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your love for us, Lord. What an honor to minister your word. Help us always to remember, Lord, that it is your responsibility to maintain the relationship, that is entirely our responsibility to maintain fellowship with you and to keep that Wi-Fi connection with you excellent and strong. Jesus, may we draw closer. May we be real. May we come just as we are before you. Through your name we pray. Amen. Amen.